Hallelujah. We can be seated. Okay, without wasting time, we're going into Bible study. And this morning, we are looking at the seven parables of Matthew 13. The seven parables of Matthew 13. That's our topic this morning. And of course, it is a very common topic that every member of this church should know. But this morning, we are repeating it again. Maybe for somebody who is hearing it for the first time. Seven parables of Matthew 13. Praise the name of the Lord. And I want you to know that these seven parables, it is only St. Matthew that recorded these seven parables as were spoken by the Lord Jesus, one after the other. You can only find these seven of them in the book of Matthew. And the denominations have given wrong interpretation to these parables. Maybe somebody is listening for the first time. They have taught that these parables are talking about how sinners will be saved by the gospel. Amen. Please, it is a wrong interpretation. Take note that these seven parables, first of all, they are prophetic. Jesus was revealing what will be the condition of the church. The changes that will take place in the church of Jesus during the period of the seven church ages. How Satan will go about hindering the journey of the saints of God. And then how the church was able to struggle out of the tricks of the devil and to return back to her original position. These seven parables, that's all they are talking about. Praise God. So we are going to look at these seven parables one after the other by the grace of God as time will permit us. As we go in now, Matthew 13 from verse 1, we'll be reading the first 23 verses of Matthew 13 from verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat by the He went into the ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them off. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruits, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who had ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he had. Therefore speak I to them in parable, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For these people's heart is worse gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart, should be converted, and I should heal them. The next verse. But blessed are your eyes for the see, and your ears for the hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the law of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy received it. Yet had he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, concerning the mysteries of the kingdom of God, Jesus purposely spoke to the multitude in parable for a good reason. Amen. He purposely spoke to them in parable because many have ears, but their ears are dull, they can't hear. They have eyes, their eyes are blind, they can't see. Many hearts are hardened, they cannot believe the word. So for that reason, he spoke to them in parable. You can go and give your own interpretation. But to those that belong to him, he will expound unto them the meaning of the parable. He will give unto them the mysteries and explain it unto them, the mysteries concerning his kingdom. Amen. And even up to now, he is still explaining the mysteries of his kingdom to those that belong to him. Only those that belong to him have the ears to hear the mysteries of the word of God or the kingdom of God. But to those outside his kingdom, everything is given to them in parables. Praise God. You can see from verse 18 up to verse 23, he explained these parables to his disciples. We don't need any other interpretation. Just go and study that place. Matthew 13 from verse 1 up to verse 23. He explained it from verse 18 up to verse 23. There are four different soil, four different ground upon which this seed fell. These four different soil representing four different categories of people that are seated in the church even here this morning. The four of them are here this morning. Hallelujah. But only the seed that fell on a good ground will bear fruit. Praise the name of the Lord. The other three categories, you can find them among the religious leaders of our time. Other three categories, you will find them among those seeking for bread and fish to eat. Amen. But to those who are his own, they receive the seed on a good ground. May that be your portion in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. So can we go into the second parable? Praise God. Also, we can also relate these parables to each of the seven church ages. In Revelation chapter 2, from verse 1 up to verse 7, can we see it? Revelation chapter 2. Praise the name of the Lord. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things said he that hold the seven stars in his hand, who walks in the midst of the seven candlesticks. Revelation 2 from verse 1. Revelation 2 from verse 1. I hope that's where I'm reading. Praise God. IT, please. Revelation chapter 2 from verse 1. Praise God. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, this things said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walked in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. The next verse. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which say, which are evil, and thou hast found them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or also I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlesticks out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that had ears, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the church, unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Praise God. Now, hallelujah. Now, you could understand that from the first church age, from that city of Ephesus, was where the fire of revival began. And from there, it began to spread to other nations, other cities in Asia Minor. And the saints of the early church age, they were very strict in faith. I repeat, the saints of the early church age, they were very strict in faith. They could not tolerate tares. Of course, it is very difficult to find a tar in the church as at that time. They were quickly weeded out. That was the case of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. You can see God commending them. He said, they hate the deed of the Nicolaitans, which he, God, also hates. What is the deed of the Nicolaitans? They are a group of people in the church. You can call them the elders of the church. They tend to exalt the ministers. They lift up the ministers above the hearers of the word of God. They made the ministers more superior above the hearers of the word. And God said he hated that spirit. Why do God say he hates that spirit? Because that spirit hinders the flow of the Spirit of God among his children. Praise God. Hallelujah. They labored much for the kingdom of God. They were very pure in faith. the saints of the first church age.
Praise God.
In the first church age, sinners were afraid to go to church unless you are going for repentance.
Hallelujah.
Not now. Liars are on the altar with Bible holding microphone. In the first church age, you can't try it. And Ananias and Sapphira tried it. They were struck dead before Peter. The Holy Ghost struck them dead. That was the condition of the church during the first church age.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord.
We pray that the church will return back to that condition.
So let's see the second parable, the parable of the tares among the wheat.
Matthew 13, from verse 24. Matthew 13, 24. IT, please help us. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then had it tares? He said unto them, an enemy had done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say unto the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Now you can notice that this second parable began with the word, the kingdom of heaven. Praise God. In the first parable, Jesus portrayed himself as a sower, sowing the seed of the word of God. Praise God. Now he has done with the seed sowing, and he has left the field for his servant to care for it. Then the Bible says, at midnight, an enemy came into that same field and sowed tares and went his way. Evil works is always carried out at midnight. Christian, listen. Evil works in your life will always be carried out at midnight when you are not at alert.
Hallelujah.
So at midnight, the enemies step into the same field where the owner sowed only good seed. You could notice that in verse 37 of Matthew 13, the Bible tells us that the sower had only good seed in his hand. There was no bad seed in his hand. Those that fell among thorns that could not bear fruit is not because the seed is bad, but they fell on the wrong soil. In the hand of the sower, there was no bad seed. So now, the enemy stepped into that field and sowed tares. These tares, they are imitators of wheat. At the early stage of growth, you will not be able to differentiate which one is tares and which one is wheat. They look alike. The intention of Satan was to destroy that field or to corrupt those in it.
Amen.
So the servants of God at that period, they wanted to go and weed out these tares. But the master's advice was, no. If you try to weed out the tares, you will also do harm to the wheat because they look very much alike. You can't differentiate them. Allow both of them to grow together until the harvest time. At the harvest time,
Everybody will answer his father's name. Praise God. So let them grow together unto the harvest time. At the harvest time, so he will send his reapers, and they will gather forth the tares for burning, and they will gather the wheat into his barn. Hallelujah. Praise God. The tares represent false believers, false worshippers of God, false preachers, make believers. They represent the stars you see in the church. The good seed, the wheat, represent the faithful believers, good servants of God. Hallelujah. They are the ones that will be gathered into the barn. Praise God. All, both tares and wheat are seated here now. Praise the name of the Lord. Both wheat and tares are seated here this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. But there will be a separation time. Always know that there will be separation time. At the time of separation, then you know where you will belong. Now let's look at declare unto us, Matthew 13 from verse 36. Let's look at how Jesus explained this very parable. Matthew 13 from 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Praise God. Now, in the field, two types of grain has appeared. You now have wheat, you have tares. But remember, the owner of the field sowed good seed. And at the time of harvest, he is looking for good seed. He's not looking for tares. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now listen. In 1948, two things happened. Historic events happened in 1948. One was the independence of Israel as a nation. It happened in 1948. In 1948 also, there was a religious organization that was formed called WCC, World Council of Churches. It was formed in 1948 in Brussels, Belgium. Through this organization, the Lord has sent out his angels to go and do what? To gather the tares ready for burning. Are you hearing me? Praise the name of the Lord. Everyone that say God called me is an angel. Everyone that has erected an altar as a pastor, you are an angel of God. You are a reaper and you are gathering a bundle. Praise God. But let me quickly say this. The gathering is not in a particular place. God is not gathering the wheat in Bride Assembly. Praise God. Only in Bride Assembly. As we are seated here now, there are tares among us. The gathering is in doctrine. Are you hearing me? The gathering is in doctrine. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. There are good seed that are in denominations now. They will soon come out and join the good seed. So there is a gathering going on. That's what I want you to understand. So that you know where you belong. Praise God. So that you know as a Christian what you are going to church for. You are not coming here to showcase your good clothes. You are here for a purpose. So don't let anything distract your attention. Hallelujah. Always take note that there are two groups of people seated in a church. Always know that. Hallelujah. So this organization, God has set it up to gather the tares together, ready for burning. And the wheat will be gathered into his barn. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's launch the next parable. Just take note of this important fact because of time. The next parable, Matthew 13. Matthew 13 from verse 32. Okay, from 31. Another parable put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. This parable, amen. The parable of the mustard seed. That seed, mustard seed, is a very small and tiny seed. But that seed has one quality. You cannot fake it. That seed remains original. The owner took it and sowed it in his field. When the seed springs up and began to grow, it looks like a tree, stretching forth his leaves and branches to various directions of the earth, until the birds of the air came and found shelter on the branches of this mustard seed. Take note, the Bible described that seed as a herb. And why was it described as a herb? Because that tree has a medicinal value. Every herb has a medicinal value. It has something that gives life. The man that sowed that tree in his field is the Lord Jesus Christ. He sowed the seed of the gospel of salvation. When that seed became to grow, stretch forth his field, his branches to all directions of the earth, as at that time, 312 AD, in AD 312, the then emperor of Rome, Emperor Constantine, embraced Christianity after he saw a vision on the cross. Emperor Constantine, when he became a vision, he saw a vision, when he became an emperor, he saw a vision where cross appeared before him in the sky. And something was written on that cross in a Latin language. And what was written in a Latin language, when it was interpreted, the meaning is, in this thou shalt be victorious. When he saw this vision as an emperor, he knew that the only way for him to be successful in his battle campaign was to embrace Christianity. As at that time, persecution was going on against the Christians. So this emperor came, and the only thing that could give him victory was to embrace Christianity after his vision. So Emperor Constantine, remember, he was a pagan. But now, after that vision, he embraced Christianity. He declared Christianity a state religion. Now, after that, persecution against Christians ceased. Nobody was persecuting Christians anymore. Now they turned against the pagans. Emperor Constantine began to use government instruments against the pagans, those who were persecuting Christians. And the only way for you to be safe was also to run to Christianity. Embrace Christianity. If you can embrace Christianity, you are free from the heat of persecution that is going on. That was when all manner of people came into Christianity. That was when all manner of doctrine came into Christianity. Men of higher societies and rank ran to Christianity. Not for genuine repentance. They were running away from the heat of persecution out there. The only place of safety was in the church. They ran in. They were the birds of the air that you see that came to perch on the branches of the tree. Remember, they have no direct relationship with that tree. They belong to the air. The germ of life of this tree is on the net. Praise God, somebody. Figuratively speaking, the true apostles were going down in their early grave. Hallelujah. When this birds of the air came to perch on this tree, praise God, not for genuine repentance, that was when the church settled in the world. Apostate Christianity, that was when it began. That was when all manner of doctrines was introduced into the church. Because this pagan, even pagan priests, came to find shelter in the church without repentance. So as they came, there was a constant noise upon that tree. There was argument and debate every day concerning church affairs. Who is this Jesus? Is he God or is he a man? As a result of this argument and debate, the emperor ordered for a council meeting in a city called Nicaea in 325 AD. Over 1,500 delegates gathered in Nicaea to discuss church affairs. That was when the doctrine of Trinity was introduced in the church and accepted by all Christendom up to today. It happened in 325 AD. Hallelujah. Praise God. Politics was the order of the day. Church was turned to a place of politics. Praise the name of the Lord. Over 35 men within that period were ordained as priests, reverend fathers, to run the affairs of the church. That is when Christianity was married with paganism. It happened in 325 AD. Let's go to the next parable. The next parable. The parable of the living. Matthew 13 verse 33. The parable of the living. Matthew 13 verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Hallelujah. Praise God. Take note of this parable. Is there another parable spake he unto them? Is that the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. That woman, I know, I think you know, that woman is a symbol of a church. Now, the true church is going underground. Praise God. They have polluted the true church. The early apostles have gone to the grave. The apostate church in Rome now began to exercise her power to do whatever she wants to do. Hallelujah. And the first thing she did, in order for her to control the Roman Empire, in order for her to rule the people, the first thing she did, she took leaven. That leaven there is a type of corruption, a wrong doctrine. Remember in Matthew 16 verse 6, Jesus told his disciples, say, be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That leaven is a wrong doctrine. That woman took 3 measures of meal, 3 wrong doctrines, and corrupted the loaf, the whole loaf that God has prepared through Christ Jesus to perfect the saints for rapture. This woman corrupted these loaves, the bread of life. Speaking of justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. These 3 measures of meal that God prepared for his children, the woman took her greed, her tradition, and her dogma and mixed it up with this 3 levels and polluted the whole thing. And now presented it to the people, and the people bought it, ate it, thinking that they are eating eternal life. But what they were eating were death. She deceived the people to believe that what they are eating was eternal life. The whole thing was puffed up with hot air to make it look good, so that the people can easily embrace it. Praise God. Throughout the 1,000 years of dark ages of the reign of this woman, the people were eating this corrupted bread. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah, somebody. And life that time, we are sickly. Spiritually, the people were blind. She took away the word of God from them. Hallelujah. That was during the period of 1,000 years of dark ages. No man has the right to open the word of God. Let's go to the next parable. Hallelujah. Matthew 13 from verse 44. Matthew 13, 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, in the which when a man had found, he hided and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he had and bought that field. Okay. And bought that field. Praise God. Now this age now is the fifth church age, the Sadducean church age. Hallelujah. Remember that in the fourth church age, the Thyatira church age, the treasures of the word of God, the priceless truth of the word of God were killed and buried. Now, in this fifth church age, that was when God began the work of restoration in the church. That was when the fire of revival began again. God using that man, the fifth church age, Martin Luther. Praise God. Martin Luther, during this period of the fifth church age, there were many men
And they were searching for this truth of the word of God. But they were searching for it in a wrong field. And Martin Luther was one of them. All through Europe, he searched for fruitless years, seeking for an indulgence promised by the Pope. So one day, in 1517, Martin Luther began to crawl on a very high mountain called the Pilot Staircase in Rome. He was crawling on this high mountain with his knees in an attempt to pay for an indulgence. And while he was doing that, the voice of God spoke to him, "Luther, the just shall live by faith." With that voice, Martin Luther has found a piece of treasure. He hid it to himself. He hid it from other priests and he continued to search, but he now changed his tactics. He was no longer searching to please the Pope. Now he began to find information, inquiry concerning the Catholic system. When he finished gathering all the information he needed, he drafted what is called 95 Theses of Luther. These 95 theses that Luther drafted were all condemnation of Catholic doctrines and teachings. He traveled back to Germany. Luther was a German citizen. He traveled back to Germany and went to the Catholic Church in Wittenberg, Germany, and pasted what he drafted at the castle door of that church and left. By that action, he sold back all the religious things he acquired from the field of that woman, Jezebel, and bought from the realm of God. Two, the action of Martin Luther stirred a revolt. A confusion exuded in the Catholic system. That was when Protestantism began. Reformation movement began. People, they will read this information by Martin Luther. Their eyes will open. They now know that they have been in a wrong place for years. People began to revolt against the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. The hierarchy of the church rose against Martin Luther. They declared him wanted, dead or alive. Hallelujah. But the king of Germany arose in defense of Luther and warned them, "If you touch Luther, you touch fire." That was when they ceased. They let Luther alone. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 3, the Bible said the head of that beast was wounded. That was when the head of the beast was wounded. It was a religious wound. And I saw one of his head as it were wounded to death. That was when the head was wounded to death by the action of Martin Luther. There were other men like John Calvin that discovered the doctrine, the treasure of eternal security of a true believer. John Calvin, John Knox, the doctrine of predestination of a believer. All these treasures were in objects. But truly, as at that time, they produced genuine revival in the true worshippers of God. As at that time. Amen. Praise God. Let's go to the next parable. Matthew 13. I think from verse 45. Matthew 13:45. Is it 45 or 46? Sorry. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking. That word is not complete.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Yes. The next verse. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. This man in this parable was a merchant man, and he was in the business looking for goodly pearls, things of value that men seek for. Amen. Unlike the man in the fifth parable, this man now, a merchant man, a businessman. Praise God. That man is John Wesley. Praise the name of the Lord. John Wesley was the fifth of the 19th children of his parents, Mr. and Mrs. Pius. And they were from the Church of England, the Anglican Communion, the half-sister of the Roman Church. You know, as at the time John Wesley was born in England, the moral value, moral standard in England was something pitiable. Fighting, drinking, gambling, womanizing was the order of the day. John Wesley was a well-educated Anglican minister. He was desiring to be a missionary, but he had no peace with God because of the lifestyle he was living as a minister of God. Praise the name of the Lord. But something happened in 1738. There was a Christian gathering in a city called Moravia, England. And Martin Luther was ministering. It was a kind of crusade. And Martin Luther was ministering in that crusade. John Wesley was seated listening to the ministration of Martin Luther. And while he was listening to Martin Luther's ministration, Martin Luther's message, something strange happened to him. The heart received the revival. Church, faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing of the word of the Lord. Faith does not come by seeing. Faith comes by hearing. You must hear the word of God. John Wesley was listening to the word of God. Something strange happened to him. From that day, he began to seek more further into the word of God. And from that day, God began to reveal unto him the need for a minister to live a life, a clean lifestyle. God used John Wesley to restore the doctrine of sanctification. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. John Wesley, after this experience, that age was the greatest missionary movement in the history of Christendom. That sixth church age. John Wesley, after he had this experience, he began to draw more nearer to God. He began to seek more of God. And God began to open his eyes to see more of him. Praise God. On horseback, John Wesley rode all through England with his message, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. John Wesley will travel to mining cities and preach his message, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. He will travel to mountains with that message, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. That age was the age when the word of God was highly promoted to all nations of the world. His followers, before he died, his followers, they migrated to America.
with that message, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And they formed a strong Methodist church in the U.S. Wesley taught his members how to approach God methodically and with a disciplined life. He is the founder of the Methodist Church. Praise God. Hallelujah. And Wesley died, I think, in 2nd of March, 1791. Let's go to the next parable. The last parable of the seven parables. Praise God. Sorry, because of time, we have to. The last parable of the seven parables. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they threw to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessel, but cast the bad away. Praise God. Now, this is the last parable of the seven parables. And it depicts the last seven church ages, which is the Laodicean church age. This parable looks similar to the second parables of Matthew 13, the parable of the tares. This one looks similar to an extent, to some degree. In this parable, the fishing net that was used was not a commonly used net. The Bible called it a drag net. Praise God. A drag net. When the net is full, it requires the effort of many fishermen to drag it to shore. And at the shore, they will separate the good fish from the bad ones. The bad ones will be thrown away. Remember, the master is looking for good fish. He will gather the good into the vessel and throw the bad away. Amen. Here in this parable, Jesus was revealing the consummation of the great revival of, you know, the gospel age. He was revealing the consummation of the gospel age. The end of the gospel age. Praise God. The net that was cast into that sea, that net was cast into the sea of humanity in 1906. The revival of John Wesley lasted to the end of the 19th century. Towards the end of the 19th century, the revival under Wesley began to divide into groups as a result of disagreement over some church doctrines. They began to form groups. But in the early 20th century, there were also group of believers all around Europe and America. They were seeking to have more from God. Hungry souls asking God for more. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. In 1906, oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Please, we can't continue because of time. Let's go on our feet. Bow down your heads. Bow down your heads. Begin to talk to God in prayer.
Bow down your heads and talk to God in prayer. I hope the Lord has spoken to somebody this morning through His word.